May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. This is a very familiar passage. It's from Colossians chapter 3. It says, if then you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking those things which are above, or you could say heavenly things, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now hear this again in light of your position. Since then you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking those things where you are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind and affections on heavenly things, things above, not on the things of the earth. But then these two verses. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, who is our life, is revealed, then you'll be revealed with him in glory. There is a verse in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, sort of the beginning of the story, and it's sort of the storyline. It's kind of the thesis statement. And then the rest of the book follows up on that, where the Shulamite says, Lord, take me away with you, let us run. And then the very next statement is, the king has brought me into his chambers, plural. And so the rest of the story is that process of what the Lord did in bringing her further in, further up, further in. But I believe that's a truth about just our walk with the Lord in general. There are breakthroughs. See, everything that's the Lord's is ours, but we break through into the different chambers. We get fresh revelation of what's ours in Christ. We start to believe for things that are ours, but we've never really apprehended, that we've never even comprehended, much less apprehended. So by revelation, we comprehend. By faith, we apprehend. And there are just chambers, plural. We never stop going deeper in, further up and further in, like what C.S. Lewis says. But that's also true, as I mentioned, really about revelation. There could be something that you know, that you've read thousands of times, you've even talked about thousands of times, but suddenly you break through another chamber. You just see it, comprehend it even more so. This would be a phrase in Scripture. That's why I love to hang out in God's Word in my time in prayer, because that's how He converses with me more than any other way. I love it when I get prophetic words. I love when God whispers things in my heart. But the Scripture, God's voice for dummies, I love it. I love how it's so easy to hear from Him. And so this morning in my time with the Lord, the Lord spoke this word to me again, and I just saw it. It's like I broke through another chamber, and I just saw it. I comprehended this statement better. The problem is, I don't know if I know how to converse about it, but I'm going to go for it and see if I can translate a revelation, not just more information to you. We talk all the time around here about being in Christ. That's not going to change any time in my lifetime. It better not change after I'm gone, or I'll be praying that golden hemorrhoids will strike whoever takes over this church, and they'll never get over them. Because it is the message of the New Testament, and it is the whole point of the Christ event. It's death, burial, and resurrection. That's how He accomplished who we are as new creation. And therefore, I love the writings of Paul, though Paul's not the only one who talked about that. He just was dominated by that thought. He gave such clarity to the gospel. Verse 3, after saying we're to seek those things which are above, set our affections on the things above, not on the things of the earth, he then goes and he explains it. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you'll be revealed with him in glory. And for whatever reason, I guess just the grace of God, I was praying about certain things. This phrase, when Christ, who is our life, just sort of jumped off the page again. I found myself crossing over into another chamber, a place of understanding, comprehending at even a higher level before. And so when I say these things to you, you might go, oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, Bishop, you've been saying that. I understand that. Well, I'm just telling you, and that's why I don't know if I'm able to explain it to you, say it to you. I understand what you're saying. But when I saw this morning, it's like the Lord just reminded me. It doesn't say, when He says Christ is your life, He's not saying that Christ is your passion, though He should be your passion. That Christ is the love of your life, though He should be the love of your life, right? When He says Christ is your life, He means that literally. Because He just got through saying, you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And so when I thought about that, Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Again, it's not that Christ is my passion, Christ is my desire, Christ is my Lord, Christ is my great love. He's actually become my life. And I can't explain me without explaining him. I can't explain my day without explaining that it's actually his day, because he's now my life. It's not just that he's living his life through me, though that's exactly what it means, but hear it in the context of identity. Christ is now my life. The independent life, if somebody would say, well, tell me about your life as an independent self, then I might tell all these stories. But if you ask me today, tell me about your life, I can't tell that story as an independent person. Christ is my life. He's taken over that. He's now my life. He's my identity. I can't explain what I'm capable of without explaining what he's capable of. You with me? I can't explain my story, use that phrase a lot, what I mean by that, my life story, the routine of my life, the relationships of my life, everything, without explaining it in light of who he is, because it's no longer my story. It's my story in Christ. It's his story. He's my life. Again, I can't explain me without explaining him. This is so profoundly amazing to me. And it's so what the gospel is all about. And so when we talk about living from Christ, not for Christ, now when he says, for your life is hidden with Christ in God, we live from Christ for God. We participate in the life that Jesus lives for God. But for Christ to be my life, and almost every person, not every, but most people that I hear try to explain that, they explain that in terms of Christ is the thing I value more than anything else. That's not what he's saying. He's saying your identity has now been lost in his identity. I am crucified with Christ. Let me explain you. Let me explain me. This is who I am. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ living in me. That's who I am. That sounds like something. No, I'm telling you, that's who I am. That's who the new creation is. Somebody who's been crucified with Christ, nevertheless they're living, but it's not them living, but Christ living in them. That's the new creation. You hear me? And then when he says, now when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you are also revealed with him in glory. Christ is revealed, since he's my life and the life that I live, Christ is revealed by me. So he says, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, Christ is revealed by me, then you'll be revealed with him in glory. Christ is revealed by me, and I am revealed by Christ. Only when Christ is being revealed by me am I being revealed by Christ. The real me, the true self, that person that's in union with Jesus. You say, well, Bishop, we've heard this. Maybe this is just, I have to talk about it because that's what I do. I'm just saying that for me, the chamber, there's just another chamber of comprehension that I can't talk about things as if this is my independent story I'm trying to deal with. If he's now my life, he's my life. That's so big. Then it's not my independent story anymore. So why the complaints? If he's now your life, why the worry? It's not your life, it's his life. Well, I thought you still had a life. Well, I know you live, but it's his life. And he doesn't have any worries. He doesn't feel inadequate. He's not insecure in his relationship. He's not threatened by this or that. I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. Christ is revealed by me. I'm revealed by Christ. And let me just say, if you ever get that, as it goes deeper, you will never, ever be controlled by false identities again. Because it can't get any better. You with me? Think of the reality of it all and the possibilities of it all. I mean, the truth is, somebody could say, well, you know, I've never met Chuck Jones, and if you knew me, you'd go, oh, there he is, there's Chuck. But that's just not really telling the whole story. No, there's a man, there's Chuck, he's a man in Christ, but he's Christ is his life. I mean, but he's Chuck, but he is Chuck, and but Christ is his life, and so he's... There goes that guy who's one with Christ. Tell me about Chuck. Okay. He was crucified with Christ, and yet I know he's living, but it's no longer him, but Christ living in him. That's the best way I can tell you about Chuck. That's who he is, And that gives you the whole capsule of his life story. Amen? If you believe that, that God cuts that deeper and deeper, it's really, you have to work really hard to be unhappy. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for letting me share what getting that off my chest. But I've been teaching this for since 1978. But this morning in that my office in prayer, I just crossed over into another place and thought, wow, that is so stunning. And it's so powerful and stunning that you feel like you're almost on the edge of heresy. But grace is like that. So, but the Holy Spirit keeps you from crossing over that edge. You know, I'm not Christ, but he's my life. And so, that's just crazy. Again, he's not the one I value the most, though he does. It's not because he's my great passion or my great love. Yes, it is. It literally says, he has now become my life. Amen.